This is ESPN Radio's Barton Hahn Podcast.
Hour number two, Barton Hahn, Alan Hahn, Bart Scott. ESPN Radio, we're presented by Progressive Insurance. Coming to you live from Seaport, brought to you by Grey Goose. We got the calls stacked and racked. Ready to go. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. We will get to them. A lot of people want to sound off on what their team did or did not do at the trade deadline. Yes, the Nets conversation certainly can be had, as you know, the way Woj is reporting it, everybody, it just feels like at some point today, Ime Udoka will be named their next head coach. And that could come sometime during this show or maybe a little bit later on this afternoon, but I do believe it is going to happen.
I thought he said that was all caps yesterday. I thought he said that was all a lie. They didn't have to make any decisions about what they're going to do.
Yeah. Like I said, that press conference yesterday and anything said after it with from Kevin Durant, I mean, put all that through the BS translator. There was nothing there that you felt like was completely genuine. But you know who always shows up and is genuine for us, giving us the answers, foreseeing the future in the NFL, what we expect to see happen next?
Lacto?
No.
Like Plato? Lacto?
No. It's more like the all-seeing, all-knowing Barstradamus.
Oh. Trick or treat. Oh, the Day of the Dead. Coco was yesterday.
Oh.
Oh, yes, I'm back from the dark side, hanging out with all the spirits that came back to visit their family for the Day of the Dead. Oh, but I float in between the dead and the living. Which one are you?
Well,
welcome, Alan Hahn.
As a Yankees fan watching the Astros in the World Series, I'm dead inside, but aside from that, very much alive because the Phillies are winning. But I digress. Barstradamus, I have some questions for you about the NFL, especially after the trade deadline has passed.
Yes.
We need to know what's coming next. So with that in mind, let's begin with this. Wide receivers there were teams looking for wide receivers. One went yesterday before the deadline, Chase Claypool. That is basically it, though. But now that the deadline has passed, a name that has surfaced or maybe resurfaced as everyone seems to be now clamoring for this player is Odell Beckham Jr. So the question I have for you is, who will win the OBJ sweepstakes?
Roll the dice. Oh, yes. OBJ. And the BUF. Oh. This is a plot from the offseason as the pair reunite. Oh, the future's so bright with old Vonnie Boy. Yes, the Buffalo Bills continue the arms race.
No.
Oh, Bradley Chubb can't help you against OBJ. Oh, yes. We're continuing to load up. Bills Mafia, rise up as we won't be denied. So it is said, Alan.
So it shall be.
Oh, so it shall be.
Wow. Okay, Odell will be in Buffalo. Okay, with that in mind, after the trade deadline now has passed, which team has moved into the Super Bowl conversation? We can assume the Bills were already there. So give me a team that after the deadline has passed, you feel has moved into the Super Bowl conversation.
Oh, there are many. But also there are few. If you paid attention, you saw who made it do what it do. San Francisco. Minnesota. Oh, the Dirty Birds of Baltimore. And of course, the Flippers of Miami. All have risen.
Flippers?
To the status of the worthy. And everyone else shall float in the sea of the damned as those teams are now righteous and have a chance of the Tournament of Champions to hoist the Lombardi Trophy and become immortalized in the eyes of the football gods.
but more importantly, Barstradamus.
So,
oh, yes.
Miami.
Oh, yes.
Minnesota.
Rise.
And
to the top like cream.
Who was the last team?
The Dirty Birds of Baltimore.
That's right.
The Niners of San Francisco.
Oh,
and
that's a lot of teams. Okay.
That's four, Alan.
Yes, that's a lot. Like you said, there are many, but there are few. So well said. Barstradamus, we continue. Question for you. The Eagles are 7-0. They go into Thursday night football against the Texans. We can assume they're going to remain undefeated. But we asked this question, and I need to ask you it. When does that O got to go?
Oh, the O has got to go.
As they always do.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's going to be due not this week, as his homecoming. Yes, the Texans are selling off like they got their money pillaged by the IRS. Garnish wages. Everything must go.
Everything but Brandon Cook.
Apparently.
Oh, yes.
Or Laramie Tunsil.
As I look into my crystal ball and see the demise of the O, it has got to go in the month of December.
Wow.
December 4th at 1 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. As those mangy titans of Tennessee riding in with the king and led by the prince, Sir Malik, shall pull his greatest Jalen Hurts impersonation as he only throws for 15 attempts. But carries King Henry and rides it all the way to victory.
What's a man to a god? What's a goon to a goblin? Oh, just a fairy tale.
So they'll be 11-0 when they head into that game, and you're predicting the Titans will go into Philadelphia, beat the Eagles to give them their first loss of the season December 4th. So it is said?
So it shall be.
Right,
I love thee, King Henry,
a king amongst men.
My last question for you, if I may, is the Powerball is $1.2 billion. It'd be great if you could tell me what the numbers.
Oh, yes.
Really good if you could just give me those numbers right
now. Take the quick pick. Oh, and the God shall find you living righteous. So easy pick, $20. Oh, yes.
Let's just go quick pick, and you're not going to give
me
the numbers?
And don't ever, ever come back. Oh, yes.
Okay. I guess we're not getting the numbers out of Barstradamus.
Quick pick. Believe in
Thank
me.
You. Thank you, Barstradamus.
The app is easy to use.
They don't sponsor our show, so we're not going to talk
but
about the app.
But do not abuse.
We're not talking about the app. They don't sponsor our show.
We'll buy the app when we win a billion.
That's right. And that is Barstradamus. Coming up in just a few seconds, Kimberly Martin's going to join us and try to make sense of everything that happened yesterday after the trade deadline and maybe things that did not happen as well. But first, let me tell you about LinkedIn. Because these days, every new potential hire can feel like a high-stakes wager for your small business. You want to be 100% certain that you have access to the best qualified candidates available. That's why you have to check out LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn Jobs helps find the right people for your team faster and for free. Creating a free job post on LinkedIn Jobs is simple, easy, and takes just minutes. Then add your job in the purple hashtag hiring frame to your LinkedIn profile to spread the word that you're hiring. Simple tools like screening questions make it easy to focus on candidates with just the right skills and experience so you can quickly prioritize who you'd like to interview and hire. It's why small businesses rate LinkedIn Jobs number one in delivering quality hires versus leading competitors. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the qualified candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/Bert. That's LinkedIn.com/Bert to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Bert.
Miami's potential on defense. And now they got a bunch of hybrid dudes with Chubb,
Ingram, Jalen Phillips, Emmanuel Ogba. Are you kidding me?
Chase Claypool was had for a second-round pick. Green Bay, you couldn't give up a second-round pick for an improvement on the perimeter? Then you might as well wave the white flag, man.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
Very busy day yesterday. If you were listening to the show or watching us on the ESPN app, you saw it was just one after another. Trades were going down right before the deadline. It felt like an NBA trade deadline. It was an exciting day. It's been a very busy trade deadline if you consider the past week. Some of the players that were moved, some of the deals that were made, and a lot of things to assess. To help us do that, our good friend of the show, Kimberly A. Martin, joins us right now, ESPN NFL reporter. K-Mart, how we doing?
Hey, guys. What's up?
All right, so of the moves that were made yesterday, which is the one that stood out to you as, wow, all right, that's a power move?
I think off the top, the Dolphins adding Bradley Chubb. I think, you know, as we sort of talked about, you guys, I'm sure, I've talked about on TV, just this is a team that clearly, when you're in this position, you want to fill up any potential cracks in the roster. You want to make any parts of your team, you know, adding pieces of strength. And I think you add Bradley Chubb, Jalen Phillips, is a massive move. It signals that we already knew the Dolphins were kind of all in, but I think this completely establishes that they believe in Tua. And when I think back to the Super Bowl, when I think of like the big key moves from the Super Bowl, to me, it's like Aaron Donald, like that defense. Like, I know Matthew Stafford and Kupp and Odell, like they got them to the Super Bowl, but what won them the Super Bowl was Aaron Donald sacking Joe Burrow. When I think of free agent moves, I think of Buffalo adding Von Miller. I'm not equating Bradley Chubb and a Von Miller or anything like that, but it's defense to me. Like, that's where I think you're going to see later in the year when we get to the late rounds of the playoffs in the Super Bowl. I think that's where you want to have your best guys.
So we know they can win a shootout now because we've seen them come back from 21 points down.
Mm-hmm.
We don't know if they can win a grimy game, even though they did win a long contest against the Buffalo Bills, who, you know, added Heim, so you can't just defend them by defending the pass. Now you have to respect them in the run because with him and Singletary, they should be able to be more balanced. But outside of those obvious teams, you know, what's a team that maybe put themselves in the conversation that was outside the conversation before this week began?
The Vikings adding TJ Hockenson, like that's a really good move. But I don't think any of the teams that made moves were outside of any conversation. I think that's the whole point, right? Like, I think really good teams made moves to become even better. Like, I love it didn't happen yesterday, but I love the 49ers adding Christian McCaffrey. 49ers are a team that in the preseason I actually picked to go to the Super Bowl once I heard that Jimmy G was sticking around. So I think they, like, to me, the most impactful moves are Bradley Chubb, Christian going to San Francisco, and Roquan Smith, like the Ravens adding him. You still have questions about the Ravens offensively week to week, right? But Lamar is still dynamic. And then this defense that has very good players but has been inconsistent. Now you got a guy who is great in coverage. You got a veteran defensive leader. Like, I love the Roquan Smith move, sending him to Baltimore. I just love it.
K Kimberly Martin joining us here on the show, talking about the NFL after the trade deadline and what teams made moves, but how about a team that didn't make a move? And I know Dan Orlovsky was very critical about this, about how they didn't do anything at the trade deadline to get a wide receiver. There were reports that, I guess, they were in on Chase Claypool, but were outbid by Chicago. I mean, do you look at this as inactivity? Is there a message in that inactivity, or were they trying? They're just, we didn't see, like, Brandon Cooks didn't get traded. Nobody else got traded that could have helped them. What did you see there?
Yeah, okay, so two things. Yeah, they were in on Claypool. The Steelers took the Bears, too. It is interesting, though. Before I got that piece of information, talking to people last night and yesterday afternoon when the Claypool news happened, there were people around the league that was like, no team has given up a two, is offering a two besides Chicago for Chase Claypool, which kind of surprised me because we see the physical tools, we see the gift, but he's underperformed. Let's call it what it is. The 11 touchdowns from his rookie year, the total 11 touchdowns, he hasn't come close to that being that sort of impactful player since then. Player with upside. But for the Packers, yes, they were in. But I think if you're the Packers and you really want a guy, then you are staying on the phone until you get the guy that you want. It's not a, hey, we'll give you this. Oh, no. Okay, cool. So talking to people yesterday about the Packers, it's sort of like, you know, for years their philosophy has always been built through the draft. It's also difficult when you have a roster where 14% of your cap is tied up in the quarterback. Aaron Rodgers making $50 million a year. Right. Also, adding a vet receiver, like, I know Brandon Cooks was out there. I know some people were talking about, why didn't the Packers get him? Why did the Cowboys get him? Adding a vet receiver, if you're the Packers, it would help, but it doesn't fix the main issue, which is you have young receivers. They just need to play better. And one NFC exec that I was texting with last night, he was like, look, young players don't get better when you're trading for guys to replace them. Like, they don't develop quicker. Like, they need to be out there. They need to be making plays. And it's almost like the analogy he gave me was like a car. You got a new car. But let's say something's not working. You put it in the shop. You're not going out and buying a whole new car. You're waiting for that to be fixed. Well, right now the Packers can't really afford to get a loaner, right? Like they signed for Sammy Watkins as a free agent. They drafted Christian Watkins in the second round. They got Romeo Doubs in the fourth. This is what it is. And they're three and five. I don't think one guy is fixing the situation. Even if it's Chase Claypool, who I think like his issue is not physical gift. It's like, dude, you're a dog, but you got to be a dog all the time. And I don't know if one guy fixes what's happening there. Like, their defense, like, adding a receiver doesn't help me understand why their defense is underperformed. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
I get the inactivity with the Packers. There's just a lot of issues. I think the bigger issue with the Packers for me is that since they moved up to get Jordan Love, a lot of the moves that they have made since then have been reactionary, and they're all about keeping Aaron Rodgers happy, you know? But I feel like in doing so in the last year and a half, like, they've cost themselves Devontae Adams, and they have some receivers that they believe in but need to play better very quickly, and that's my concern with them.
Well, making Green Bay happy and bending to the needs and wants of Aaron Rodgers doesn't seem like they are coinciding with each other. Because if you look around the league, they did everything they could for Tua. They've done everything they could for Josh Allen. So I guess my next question is, how many losses would it take before we start the official clock on Roger watch? I mean, because if they lose two more times, that's seven losses. That probably pushes them out of the postseason. And how soon are we saying, okay, well, see if you can trade Aaron Rodgers and see if you can bring a haul back for him like Russell Wilson did and all the teams that will be clamoring for his $50 million salary? Because if they didn't do it this year, I don't know how next year it changes or gets any better. So they might as well get as much as they can for him and start the reset button. Because I thought this year was a year where you were all in for Aaron Rodgers.
Right. Well, so this is why I brought up the point of every single move they've made, starting with the Jordan Love pick, feels reactionary instead of proactive. The moves, all of them together, don't make sense. Like, I can't see what the plan is, because you move up to get Jordan Love. instead of getting Aaron Rodgers some wide receivers then. So to me, it signals, okay, we're thinking about the future. All right, cool. You're thinking about the succession plan, the transition. All right. If you want to, after that, you want to trade Aaron Rodgers. Aaron, where do you want to go? We'll send you wherever you want to go, blah, 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 blah. Like, that plan, whether you think they should do it or not, like, at least I see it. But when you move up to get him, but then Aaron Rodgers has his MVP season, which threw a monkey wrench and everything, as he pointed out, and then you now are like, oh, wait a second. Aaron's got several more years that we didn't foresee. Okay, how do we make this work? Oh, wait, how about we pay Aaron? Aaron, take as long as you want in terms of telling us where you want to be. We'll just sit here and wait. Meanwhile, Devontae goes,
right.
You know, yeah. Like Devontae goes to Vegas. None of it to me makes sense. So when you look at the clock for Aaron Rodgers, I don't know what the Packers are building towards here based on the moves they've made. So I think beyond this year, I don't have confidence in the plan. So Therefore, I believe in Aaron Rodgers 100%. He's a future Hall of Famer. I just don't know. I just don't know if you can't take advantage of a down NFC, right? That's why I talk about the Cowboys, all these teams. It's a down year. Brady, all these teams are down. This was your moment to strike. And unless something drastic happens, I'm concerned about the Packers.
Kimberly Martin, who's been covering the NFL for a very long time, the Jets, she's been in New York. She was also in D.C. And so, Kimberly, I just want to leave it on this one because this is news from today. The Washington Commanders, at least it seems like they're at least exploring the possibility of selling the team. What are your thoughts on that? And do you think this is something that means Dan Snyder will be out of the NFL completely?
I think the Jim Irsay coming out a few weeks ago at the owners meeting saying there's merit to forcing him to sell, and then him saying I believe there would be majority ownership voting to get him out, that to me was a seismic shift because you had an owner saying that for the first time publicly. Now today just seems like, okay, this is where we're headed. The question to me is, I don't know if it's unclear whether Dan Snyder is talking about selling the entire team or like a minority stake in the team. I think the fact that you had Jim Irsay already talking, said we knew more owners, and I was told more owners feel similarly to Jim Irsay, so he's not an outlier. I think we are inching closer, and I say inch because the House Oversight Committee is still doing an investigation. The NFL still has an investigation into the Commanders. Like, these investigations have to be wrapped up before I think things can happen,
right.
Or at least I would expect it to. But I think we are moving closer to potentially seeing Dan Snyder no longer own the team, which I know would make a lot of fans in that area, in the DMV area, very happy.
There's no doubt about that. And I think if Roger Goodell and several of the owners probably would be relieved to see that day as well. Kmart, always good to catch up. Thanks so much.
No problem, guys.
All right. Kimberly Martin, again, on it as always, ESPN NFL reporter. Coming up, we have your calls, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. And Bart, the first college football playoff rankings are out.
Bullcrap.
Who's number one? But what could happen this weekend that could take someone completely out of it already? It's Bart and Hahn,
go
ESPN
Blue.
Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn, presented by Progressive Insurance. It's easy to bundle your home and car insurance at progressive.com. We don't really spend a lot of time on college football on this show, Bart, but we do pay attention to it, especially at the point that we are at now in the season where it starts to become about the college football playoff rankings. And the first rankings of the season were out last night, and I don't think there's a great deal of surprise in what we saw. Tennessee, who's had an unbelievable season, they're already 8-0, and they are number one. Ohio State, number two. Georgia's number three, the defending champs. And Clemson sits at four right now at 8-0. Now, they're not the only undefeated teams here. Michigan's 8-0. They fill in at five. TCU's 8-0. They gave them the seventh spot so far. Alabama, the only team in the top seven with a loss. And they gave them the sixth seed. And this will be really interesting to see, of course, how everything goes down, because there's some people who believe that this Saturday, the Tennessee-Georgia game, it's a huge game. 3 o'clock in Athens. CBS has the game, too. So, I mean, everybody's watching this game, 1-3. And some people feel if Georgia loses this game, that they're out. that they wouldn't be in the next rankings. They won't be in the top four.
I mean, even if they lose, number one, they should push Clemson out.
Well, it's weird because, first of all, it's their last game against a ranked opponent. So this is their last chance to do anything like significant. But if they lose this game, they could fall out. It's crazy. So Alabama plays LSU at LSU Saturday night. LSU's 10th. But for Alabama, it's just all you got to do now is just keep winning.
And that's the thing.
But losing to Tennessee, did not hurt Alabama. Why would it hurt Georgia?
Yeah, the crazy thing is also Michigan's got to play Ohio State, and one of those are going to bounce off the top four because they play late.
Yeah, they never. Right?
But they beat them once last year.
Yeah, but I'm saying like historically. Yeah, Michigan's got – by the way, Michigan's at Piscataway in New Jersey taking on Chris Carlin's Rutgers team.
See, that's the problem. They don't have any good wins. That's why they were hurt.
Yeah. Clemson's got Notre Dame.
I don't understand.
And Ohio State has a noon game on ABC against Northwestern, which is like,
Clemson is not a top four team in this league.
You're not looking at Clemson here?
Your eye test tells you that they're not.
Is it essentially like because it's all SEC pretty much? You got Ohio State Big Ten, Michigan Big Ten, and then all the other SECs. Is you going to get an ACC in there or something? I don't know. What is the reason are we giving Clemson that much love right now?
I don't get it. Legacy, Dabo Sweeney, historically, or trying to get representation.
Yeah.
Like, it's funny how quickly they disrespect the Big 12 and TCU and what they're doing, but they show love for Clemson, who quarterback isn't that good.
So, as I mentioned, though, the game, again, Saturday's game, and it's amazing the timing of all this stuff, right? The schedule comes out. It's Tennessee at Georgia. Nobody's thinking anything when the schedule comes out. But the fact that this is the first week of the the college football playoff rankings, and they play each other, and it's very significant, a 1-3. And Heather Dinich, our ESPN college football reporter, was on KJM. She talked about the significance of this game for defending champion Georgia.
If they don't beat Tennessee, to me, I don't think they get in the college football playoff because they don't win their division. The selection committee has protocol it must follow if you're not a conference champion. We've seen a team that doesn't win its division get in before. That was Alabama a couple of years ago. But Georgia's opponents right now, if you take out the Oregon win, are a combined 22-26. If they don't beat Tennessee, nobody else left on their schedule is currently ranked in the CFP top 25. So they would be desperately hoping that that win against Oregon would be enough to impress the selection committee on selection day. Guys, I don't think it would because you're looking at possibly the SEC, definitely the SEC champ, but also the runner-up getting into that thing if it's not Georgia.
It shows you just how big this game is. Can you imagine that too? A game in early November could decide whether or not you have a shot at playing for the national championship, and you're the defending champion.
Yeah, if Tennessee loses, they'll just slide down to 3.
Yeah.
They'll slide down to 4, well, Georgia and everybody
gets,
move up.
Georgia gets the win, they go to number 1, don't they? Regardless of what anybody else does?
No, Ohio State, I don't know.
Well, no, I'm talking about at least in the next week.
Yeah.
Right, Ohio State playing Michigan.
Tennessee wouldn't drop no more than 4th. Michigan would stay where they at. Alabama would stay where they at.
Yeah.
I think everybody just slide at 1. Georgia would maybe leapfrog and go 1. Ohio State would stay 2. Clemson go 3. And Tennessee stays at 4.
So it
doesn't change anything.
All these 8-0 teams. It's just wild. We've talked about this before, though, right? 4 teams get in. They've been talking about expanding this thing. Would 6 work? Just going to 6,
yeah.
1 and 2 get a bye. The other 4 play each other to see who plays.
Yeah, 6.
Into a semifinal that way. So you just add an extra week to it. But it's just getting 2 more teams in could, it certainly would make it a lot more interesting, but it also is way more inclusive to some other teams. I mean, 4 is, you've got.
I'd rather go 10.
6-8-0 teams.
I'd rather go 10 and see if 10 could beat 3.
You want to go 10.
Yeah, 2 byes and see if 10 can beat 3.
Wow. I'm going to take a month to finish that, though. You need a whole month to do your playoffs.
4 weeks, just like the NFL.
That's a month.
Just like the NFL.
But the college football season ends usually like right around New Year's.
But it's usually like that,
though. You have to start it sooner.
But it's usually like that, right?
Well, they take like
the bowl games. Yeah. You just take the bowl. It's basically the bowl games.
It is basically the bowl games. You could do it that way.
The national championships, which normally is.
I've always said that you should just rotate the bowl games. so that everybody gets a piece.
You can, but then also the Rose Bowl could be like the first eliminator, the Orange Bowl.
That's what I'm saying.
So you'll be able to, the bowls can still be big.
But they all have to agree to do it. And as we know with college sports, including college football, nobody agrees to anything. You know that.
Well, it rotates and nobody gets it. We'll put it in one place.
That's what you're trying to do here, right? We all think this is a great idea until you sit them down and ask them all to concede. All right, this year you don't get it. This year you get it. This year you're a semifinal.
It's on a rotational schedule.
That makes total sense, doesn't
it? Because if you don't get it, you get the best matchup first.
That's what I mean.
At the championship, you get the juiciest matchup.
And some years, like the Sugar Bowl, will have to just accept the fact that you're going to have the first round.
Exactly.
And you'd have to live with it. You know, like this, you know, unfortunately, you'll have to have the, you know, TCU Georgia game.
Yeah.
It's not so bad. It's still interesting. And then 2 years from now, you get the semifinal. Next year, the semifinal. The year after that, the championship. We just keep rotating.
If it was this year, you would have the Alabama Georgia game.
I don't know.
Like, if we're looking at six on the screen.
Yes.
We would have Alabama versus Georgia.
Right.
We would have Clemson and Michigan.
Yeah, those aren't good games.
Yeah,
those aren't bad
historical.
Well, you said 10. I was saying.
I'm saying even if you did six, we got the six right there.
So there will be expansion in the coming year.
Oh, I know. We know.
It's going to go to 12 at some point.
Nobody wants 12.
That's why I was saying. I think 12 might be too. Like that's going to take forever.
And 12, nobody gets a bye.
Yeah, it won't be that bad.
We know there's going to be expansion. We're trying to figure out what would work the best.
Nobody gets a bye. If that's the case, everybody plays. No bye. You just get the weaker seed.
Ugh. I don't know. That might be too much.
Well, that would be four games, right?
Yeah, well, I don't know. But right now we know what it is right now, and it's Tennessee, Ohio State, Georgia, and Clemson as your top four. And all we have to see is a loss by Georgia, and they'll be out.
Heather Dinnish said they might be
the defending champs won't have a chance to defend it. 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Bar, we got lots of calls to get to. Let's talk to the people next. Bart and Hahn, ESPN Radio.
Bart and Hahn.
Alan Hahn, Bart Scott, ESPN Radio, 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. Let's get back to the phones. A lot of you stacked and racked, ready to go. We will continue with you now. Let's go to Illinois and talk with John. Hey, John.
Hello?
Yeah, we got you. Come on, man.
Okay. Sorry. I was just wondering, what's going on with the Packers, man? Somebody's going to have to start losing their job pretty soon. They didn't do anything whatsoever at the trade deadline to improve the team at all, which means they're giving in the season unless they think they can win the Super Bowl. Why not trade him away, get some picks back, start rebuilding this thing right?
Trade who away?
Aaron Rodgers.
Time to trade Aaron Rodgers.
Who will take $50 million in the middle of the season?
Well, they're not going to trade him now. But
Titans.
After the season.
Titans, Colts.
They're not trading him in mid-season. Mid-season, you can't trade a guy like that. But are you saying if this season ends without a playoff, are you ready for the Packers to try to like say to Aaron Rodgers, we're done with you. Let's move on.
100%. They can't keep coddling him. They got to move on from this.
Who's your team outside? Is the Packers your team? Or do you have a favorite team?
The Bears.
The Bears is your team. So the second year, you expect them to get rid of Justin Fields?
Honestly, yes. If he didn't show the improvement that he's shown the last few games, I was ready to move on from him.
Bro, Aaron Rodgers just won back-to-back MVPs. And you're telling me, you're going to say, well, let's trade him back-to-back and see if we can get for the back-to-back MVP. Well, he's won 13 games the last 3 years in a row. And
I think he has the talent. I just don't know if his heart is in football anymore. They don't know how long they're going to have him for.
He just won the MVP, though.
Yeah, his heart was very much in it. It's the fact that the rest of the team is not very much in it. Jet in Arizona, how you feel about all this?
Hey, how's it going?
All right.
Oh, wow. Yeah, I've been driving a truck listening to your guys' show for a couple days here.
Love it.
Appreciate it.
Thank you.
Yeah, I'm a Michigan native, so I grew up with Matt Stafford and an empty set. I'm 3rd and 12, but
so sorry for you for your loss.
I know. And that's kind of what I was going to touch on is just as long as the Fords are associated with Detroit, we'll never be good ever. Let's just get that out there.
I think Spielman said that, man. But you know, at one point they used to say that about the Benson family in New Orleans. They used to say that about Arizona. I mean, I think I like how they're building the team. I just don't know why you get rid of T.J. Hockenson when it looks like you have a bright future? You have two first-round draft picks where you can go get a C.J. Stroud or a Bryce Young. I don't know what they're doing.
Yeah, for Detroit, it's continuing to wait.
Bart and Han.
Bart and Han, presented by Progressive Insurance. And we've got your calls at 888-SAY-ESPN, 888-729-3776. A lot calmer of a day compared to yesterday, where it was just nonstop news breaking left and right, trade deadline for the NFL, what was going on in Brooklyn, of course, all the moves there. Still waiting to see what Brooklyn does at head coach. The rumors continue to be that Ime Udoka is the guy. The minute we hear it, you will hear it from us. That's why you keep it right here. On that note, let's go to Jersey and talk with Rich. What's up, Rich?
What's going on, fellas? How we doing?
Good. How you doing?
All right, good, good. Listen, I don't know if you remember, I called you guys several times last year. I was the one who was, you know, saying we had the basketball Jason Garrett, cancer Kyrie, all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I don't remember if it was Bart or who it was, but someone was telling me I was out of my mind when I said we needed to get rid of Kyrie and keep James Harden. And since then, you know, we've seen the master of chaos continue, you know, to do what he does. And, you know, this team where everyone's counting them dead right now, you know, I defer a little bit. The only way I personally think that they could be saved at this point is if they find a way to get rid of Kyrie, because as long as he's there, it's going to be nonstop distractions. They already got rid of, you know, Jason Garrett. So now, and he really was. He provided absolutely nothing. They did get a real coach in, and KD looks like he's ready to still put in work. They just have to get rid of Kyrie. And I just want to say one more thing, because I know Alan has the itchy trigger finger. He's going to cut me off.
Not at all.
Okay. I don't agree with almost anything Kyrie does, but I just want to say one thing. Like, we're starting to head down a slippery slope here, like, where it comes to freedoms and stuff like that, because, like, all the people who are complaining, did anyone cancel their Amazon Prime? They're the ones selling it. And, like, what's going to be next? Like,
right.
Ask me to hang out with rappers with questionable lyrics? Are they going to be canceled?
Well, Rich, now here, I'm not hanging up on you, so don't hang up on me, because I want to respond to a couple of things you said. The first thing I'll respond to is, if you called this show and said that Kyrie was the problem and somebody disagreed with you, you didn't call this show, because I would have agreed with you saying that. I remember the Jason Garrett line. In fact, I remember laughing about it, because it's so true. It's Nash was essentially there to just clap and you know, pat you on the back and tell you everything's great. I mean, that's what he was. They didn't want coaches, so that's why they brought him in. They didn't want somebody who was going to hold them accountable and push them. They just wanted somebody, as Kyrie said, who can understand where we are at our level. So it was, that's why they hired him. And now it's like, you know, Kevin Durant wasn't happy with that one. So that's that. I agree with you on all that stuff. But the people that bring up the idea that, why aren't you criticizing, you know, Bezos and Amazon and all that stuff, is because this is sports. We talk about sports. You know, like, it's like to tell a reporter, like he was telling Nick Friedell, how come you aren't doing that? Nick Friedell's job is not to write about that stuff. There's someone else in another, you know, if you work at a paper, there's a business side of the paper. They handle that. Like, the job is, what are you doing? You know, that's why we do these things. And I'm with you. We can go too far sometimes with criticism. But this is one where you're told, hey, you know what? That's not right, man. And his response was, I don't care. That's what his response was. It was defiant. When enough people are telling you, you know what you're doing? You're acting kind of squirrely. This ain't right. All right, you know what? Everybody's kind of coming to me saying this ain't right. I probably should check myself and make sure that I have that awareness and compassion for other people and say, okay, I understand this was wrong. And he defiantly won't do that. So that's where the constant criticism comes up. And the fact that the Nets won't even let him talk anymore because they know that he's still in a place where he's going to continue to double down. And that's bad for their brand because it's forcing them to have to do something. So, Rich, I appreciate the call. And as always, you know, continue to call. But, Bart, that's essentially where they are right now.
Yeah, they're between a rock and a hard place, right?
And I agree with them. The next move needs to be Kyrie goes, because they probably will be better off when they can just go back to being a basketball team and not a basketball team that has a cloud over it, because you never know what's next with this guy.
Still averaging 30 points, and like I say all the time, production breeds tolerance.
Which is
true.
And they're
going to tolerate, and they're trying to see, hey, can we get Udoka? Can Udoka get them to play defense and get them to play structure? And can he get the other players? Because Nash was getting, like, coached around in circles.
Yeah, that's
it. But Udoka can get the other guys to play at such a high level that Kyrie and KD don't have to score 30 points a game. They're putting up 60 points a game between themselves, right? And if you can get Odogwu to come in and get the other, because the other players that they brought in are talented.
Yeah,
Royce O'Neal, all those guys.
Roster.
It's a good roster.
It's not a bad roster, but there's a lot more that they need to do. We'll dive deeper into this next. Stay with us. Bart and Hahn.
Bart and Hahn.